Control your words. Say good things. That's why the Lord told us, only say things that edify one another. You know, somebody walk in this morning and say, boy, you look beautiful today. Boy, I love them earrings you got on today. You look so sweet today. Does that make you feel good? See? But what if somebody comes in and say, good grief, you look awful today. I mean, you look like you didn't get no sleep last night. You know, I mean, everything they said about you is negative. You know, I mean, when I first learned this, I thought one day, you know, God, I have a problem believing this will work. And I thought, Lord, forgive me, but I'm going to put this to the test today. So one of the ladies that always felt good at work, beautiful lady, she walked into work one morning. I said, good morning, how are you doing? Oh, Thurman, I'm great. I said, are you sure? Well, yeah, why? I said, did you get a good night's sleep last night? She said, well, why? I said, your eyes sure are puffy, and you look like, you know, like your color. I said, you sure you're not coming down with something sick?
No.
Well, I don't think so. Before the day was over, I'd said that two or three times to this woman, and she was nearly sick at the end of the day. She had a bad day. And I said, you know, I just proved today beyond a shadow of a doubt that the words can kill you. She said, what do you mean? I said, you know, you're beautiful. Ain't nothing wrong with you. I've been telling you a story all day. She said, what? I said, I'll ask the Lord to forgive me before I've done this, but I wanted to see if this is going to work. But I said, it did. I said, I thought a beautiful, healthy woman like you, if I can take a few words and make you feel awful, then this Bible is 100% true. And I almost ruined her whole day that day. Isn't that awful? But death and life's in the power of the tongue. Yeah. The next morning when she came in, I said, how you feel today? She said, don't you put that stuff on me today. I feel great. I said, okay, praise God. See, but why does the Lord say for us to edify one another? Because He knows the death and life's in the power of the tongue. And we're fighting against these invisible enemies. Now then, let's go back to right quick to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. Ephesians 6, 17. And He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Did you know, you think about this double-edged sword. And I think about when I used to be a Baptist deacon years ago, and you could have come in and said, quote me your favorite five verses. I could have said, well, let's see, John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world. Then I might have been able to get one or two after that, and then after that I'd have said, well, that's all I know. Now, how long is my sword? It's teeny, isn't it? When you reach back and grab that sword, if the devil attacks, and you reach back and grab your sword, the Word of God, and you pull it out and say, devil, I got you this time, and he laughs when all you got to handle with a little bitty tiny knife about that long on the end. I could just see that devil laughing at me and saying, yeah, sure, you ain't going to hurt me at all. But if I got 100 or 200 scriptures hidden in my heart, I reach back and pull that big, gleaming, beautiful thing out, and it's shining and it's sharp on both sides. He said, whoa, let me get away from this boy. He's going to cut my head off with that thing. Now, is that what you do? Yes, you cut the devil's head off. You take the helmet of salvation, knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because none of this will work without knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and then pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How much power do we have over the devil? If you repent of your sins. In other words, the very first question you should ask yourself, if any kind of sickness or pain or anything else comes upon you or your children, the first thing you should say is, Lord, where did I miss it? Have I done something wrong? Lord, I don't know where I might have missed it, but you know where I missed it. So, Lord, if it's something I need to know, remind me of it, and I will be happy to repent. And you may be amazed. Be just like this young man that I tried and tried to cast the demon of infirmity out of his feet for athlete's foot and could not get this boy set free. And he come back in my office several times, and I finally told him, I said, son, you got to sin somewhere. You got to sin. And I said, I don't know what it is. He said, Thurman, I think I've confessed everything known and unknown. I said, well, there's still something or you'd get your healing. I said, when you start home today, you say, Lord, if there's anything I need to confess that I don't know, tell me. I said, thank you, Lord, for telling me. Next morning, he come walking to mom and said, praise God, I started home yesterday afternoon. I did what you said and said, I asked the Lord that question and said, immediately, and here this man, 45 years old, he said, immediately two men's name came to my mind that I had a grudge against when I was a sophomore in high school. And I said, if I ever get bigger than them boys, I'll kill them both for what they done to me. And that was just a statement he made. But had God held him accountable for that all these years? Yes, he had. Could he get healed? No. He said, I repented. I told the Lord, Lord, I don't even know where those guys are. I ain't seen them in 20-something years. He said, Lord, but I forgive them. You know, I just forgot about him, but said, Lord, I forgive him. I prayed for him one more time, and guess what happened? He got healed just like that. And God holds you accountable for everything you've done in your life, known and unknown. That's why when you come through the cross, technically speaking, at that point, he forgives or redeems every sin you've ever committed. When you come to Jesus, I don't care how many, say you was 30 years old when you come to Jesus, how many sins do most people have in their life if they don't know Jesus and they live to be 30? They got a bunch of them. I mean, they've done everything known to man almost. And when you get saved, how many of them does he wash away? That's absolutely right. But now then, when you got saved, how many sins that you commit after that does he hold you accountable for? All of them. All of them. Now then, what do you have to do to get rid of them? Confess them. Now you got to confess. Did you have to confess to get saved? No. You didn't have to confess your sin to get saved. If you were 30 years old and got saved, you didn't know how many sins you had. If I'd have said, before you get saved, you're 30, you must confess every sin you've ever committed, who on this earth could be saved? Nobody. We couldn't remember all the things we did as a lost man. So Jesus just said, I'm redeeming you at this point and I'm washing it away. I'm making you clean. In other words, your board that's behind you now, I've washed it in my blood and it's perfectly clean. But he said, from this day forth, you're to go and sin no more. Is that what he said? Go and sin no more. So if you do sin, now you've got to say, Lord, I'm sorry I did this. I told this little white lie or whatever I did. Or, you know, I cheated on somebody or did something. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And he said, now repent of that, which means don't go do it again tomorrow. Don't come in every Saturday night and tell me you're going to repent of everything, knowing that you're going to go to church on Sunday, and then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're out there sinning all week again. Lord, I repent for being out there with all them contractors, and I repent for being a man that lied to them, stole from them, cheated them, cussed them out, and all that kind of stuff. But Lord, I'm a Christian. I'll repent Saturday night, and then Sunday morning I'll be okay. He said, okay, this time we'll do that. But next week, don't you go out and do the same thing. But Lord, I have to. No. He said, no, that's not my children. You don't do that. You don't live like that. You walk holy in my presence. Everybody out there will say, well, you know, that guy, he's different. He never cusses. He never lies to us. He never cheats us. He always takes care of us. He's something different about that guy. What should be the difference? Children of God. And when you walk holy like that, you will resist every fiery dart of the devil. And not one single one will be able to hit you. And you will not be able to be made sick when you walk holy before God. It's a wonderful place to walk. You know that? I love being able to walk with God and not have to even have sickness in my vocabulary. It's wonderful. And to be able to pray over people and get people healed. How many wants to be sick? Oh, not a single hand went up. Well, gee whiz. then you got to learn how to not sin, right? The king promised that. Now then, after we've talked in detail about our enemy and who this beast is, this invisible beast, and we see what he will do, what he wants to do, but he can't do until God tells him okay. That's good news, isn't it? To know that God's in control and he has your best interest at heart, and as long as you walk in obedience to the word, the Lord will not allow the enemy to do these kind of things to you. But when he does do these things, then there's not anything you can do except pray and plead with God. You know, and take his word. Make sure you've repented of every sin known and unknown, and then you can stand on his word. Now then, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and start with verse 4. We're going to read a little bit about what we can do against this enemy and how we can overcome him. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, "We use God's mighty weapons." Now, this is the NLT. It's a very good translation of this. "We use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideas, and we teach them to obey Christ." Now, what does that mean to you when you say that we can use God's mighty weapons? What kind of mighty weapons do we have that God has given us? What is one of the most powerful weapons God gave us after we become children of God? The Word of God. So we take the Word and we begin to read the Word and study it. And then the next thing you learn, that there's a mighty being called the Holy Spirit. That you can ask him, just like in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. In fact, in Luke 11, 13, it tells you what you have to do to receive this mighty power of this Holy Spirit. In Luke 11, 13, "If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So how do you get the Holy Spirit from the Lord? Ask him. When you ask him, you ask, "Oh God, I praise you and thank you that you give me the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, I hope you do. Now Lord, if I don't go out of here speaking in tongues, I don't guess I got anything."
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.